Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Maddock. I'm joined by my buddy, Michael Leone. We are going to do an early best ball podcast, just going to kind of run through ADP, some of our initial observations, just kind of overall taking a temperature of the market, talking about some values, talking about some of the portfolios that we have started to build a little bit already. Not a ton of free agency talk on this podcast. We did that for a very long time on the last episode of this podcast that you can go listen to with Michael and Drew Dinkmeyer as well. Mike, best ball. Tis the season.
Tis the season. So I did about 6 best ball drafts. I started like a week or so ago, and one's wrapped up. A couple are wrapping up now. A couple are sort of in the middle. And then I felt like I need a little bit break, digest the free agency news, and then refresh. So that's where I'm at, sort of initial thoughts on things. There's already some picks that I wish I had back, some of that due to free agency, and some picks I feel good about. So you're about to dive in, right? You haven't.
No, I have done one. I just signed up for a bunch more, but I've also been doing dynasty stuff. I've already been drafting a ton already this offseason. So if I say something weird about ADP, it's probably because I'm referencing a dynasty ADP that is very far off from best ball for whatever reason.
First observation I had right away jumping into these is on the receivers last year, you could, if you had just 100% confirmation bias, you could buy high on the guys that did really well, like Ridley, DJ Moore, Chris Godwin, and then buy low on the guys that didn't.
That we liked last year who suck now?
So like Jarvis Landry, Christian Kirk, Diggs, Juju.
Well, what about our preferred 1-2 turn last year was Odell Beckham and Juju Smith-Schuster, who are now going as the wide receiver 11 and wide receiver 12 at the tail end of the second round or beginning of the third round?
I mean, that I got Juju at the end of round 4. It seems to already quickly be adjusting. The Pittsburgh values, I got Connor in a league, McDonald in a league, and I'm in like 6 total. So just being in ones already, you know, double digit exposure percentage. The Steelers offense is way underrated. Something that in our projections we had to fix, because if you assume Ben is back and, you know, even 80% normal Ben, they're going to be way better than last year, both in terms of effectiveness and just in aggressiveness overall. So Juju was early running for super lock. I think his ADPs changed a little bit. So it is hard for me though, to not go 0 running back like I always do. And in the FFPC league. So of course, you know, we lost our draft league. So FFPC has 2 leagues you can do now. Their normal 28 team league, which includes kicker and defense, and then a 10 man bench, I believe. No, more bunch than that, but it includes kicker and defense. And then they have these slim best balls, and the slim best balls are the same 18 rounds, no kicker, no defenses draft was, but it's still FFPC style scoring. There's 2 key differences from draft. 1, it's tight end premium. So you get 1.5 point per reception. And 2, instead of 3 receivers in 1 flex, it's 2 receivers in 2 flex. So you start the same amount of spots, but the receiver scarcity is a little different. So it doesn't lend itself as good to 0 RB because of the, you know, 1 less starting receiver spot, even though you could still start 4. And also you probably want to draft tight ends a little earlier. So just wanted to go over that. And it's really cool that they have super flex best ball options. I think that's awesome. A couple of the leagues I did are of that variety.
I mean, super flex best ball is I think that's the right way to play fantasy football. That's my take.
It's hard because it shifts from QBs are super overvalued to everyone's drafting a QB in the first 3 to 4 rounds. I think it's so we like Tyrod Taylor quite a bit. If you're in on Tyrod and you think he starts for the Chargers, which obviously a risky proposition still with Jameis out there, Cam Newton on the trade block, Dalton Foles out there. But if you think they start Tyrod, I've gotten him as my QB3 on shaky regular teams in like round 18. But the, like, you can start QB early and then You want two solid QBs no matter what. So you probably want two QBs first four rounds, but you could roll the dice on that third QB. I've had an early pick in both the super flexes I did. I actually took Lamar at three and five both times. And it's difficult, but I just adjust. If you're using the Daily Roto rankings, so what you can do is kind of just multiply the tight end overall rankings by like 0.8. And, you know, that'll give you a lower tight end overall ranking, well, better tight end ranking that you can use that's more compatible to the other positions. And then for quarterbacks, you can do something similar, but for a super flex league, but it's almost multiplied times like 0.1 or 0.0. Like the Rockets just absolutely sky value. Because you got to think, not only is it super flex, but with it being best ball, teams are trying to take three quarterbacks. And, you know, the math just doesn't add up in a 12-team league.
So this is an interesting conversation, because obviously ADP for super flex leagues, you know, it kind of varies, right? People make different decisions. Quarterback runs can impact some leagues and not impact others. So I was just in a super flex best ball dynasty startup that just happened. If you had to guess, how many quarterbacks do you think went in the first round?
In Superflex Best Ball Dynasty?
Superflex Best Ball Dynasty quarterbacks in the first round?
Five?
Yeah, correct. Five, which is... And
boom!
And they were Mahomes, the obvious... Lamar. Mahomes, Lamar, Kyler... Yes. No, Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson. And... makes sense. Who do you think, knowing me, who do you think I had the rat pick? Who do you think I took, knowing that Deshaun and Kyler and Mahomes and Lamar were gone?
I mean, those are your guys. I didn't know you knew any other quarterbacks.
There's a very obvious one.
Baker.
Dak. I took Dak at
Dak. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Dak's the right pick. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Just so there is... Right now, if you are doing one of the in any super flex basketball format, there's going to be a huge run on guys in the first three rounds, and then you're going to get to Tua, Joe Burrow, Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield, that range. I think
Daniel Jones in round four.
Completely reasonable. I think Daniel Jones is going to be a guy that. My guess is that our projections, kind of as we work on stuff throughout the offseason, I expect that we are going to be higher than him on the market in single quarterback leagues as well, because, you know, the one thing that doing things from a, like, we're really trying to trust the projections, we're really trying to work on the projections. Quarterbacks that have rushing upside are just so much better bets than pass only quarterbacks.
So much better. That's why it's hard. I mean, we talked, so Brady to Tampa Bay, like, that's great for his fantasy value. But the ceiling is still capped there unless it's just it just something crazy happens where they're just insanely efficient. And
as we are on air, Nick Foles just got traded to Chicago.
Yeah, I saw that. So who starts, Foles or Trubisky?
I bet when I do our projections, I will have it set probably 60-40. Like, I'm not going to project all of them. One of them to start all the games.
I feel like I'm already a little bit. So this, when I said I regretted some things already, I have a couple of Jameis shares and I have at least one Trubisky share, and those look bad. People were so afraid of the risk that I thought the upside was worth it, but not looking great for me on those guys right now.
I think that now there are weirdly enough, you never get this in Superflex Dynasty Leagues, but there are so many quarterbacks you could get for really cheap right now who are going to start games this year and coming up soon. Like, that's going to, like Nick Foles, like, I mean, what would you have to pay right now for for Mitch Trubisky, right? Like, he would just be cheap.
He's already dropping a ton just before that trade, just like on concerns of it happening. So I don't know, what round would you pull the trigger? Like, I pull the trigger if I needed a third QB, I think I would only take him if I needed a third QB, and I'd probably do it in round 15 to 18, depending on needs and stuff. I think he'd still be worth the pick if you had a shaky QB too and you just wanted another out. I think that's one of the hardest things for people to wrap their head around, really, in anything, is when guys don't have certain jobs. But I think especially for quarterback and for dynasty startups, it's super interesting, because I experienced my first Superflex dynasty startups the last couple of years, and taking some stabs on guys really paid off. You know, I hit Brissett in a couple of leagues last year.
I mean, just any guy that is borderline, like, this guy is not so bad that no other team will view him as a starter, or that if the quarterback in front of him gets hurt, he will be fine. Like, those guys, you want to just be stocking those dudes on your bench.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to roll through the last 2 week ADP. This is 121 leagues drafted since the 3rd of March. And I kind of want to roll through some of these ADPs and think about if they are values right now, or if you're likely to be able to get some of these guys cheaper later on in draft season. So first example, Derrick Henry right now, RB6, 7th overall. My guess is you're going to be able to start getting him at the beginning of the second round once, like, real fantasy drafts start. There's no way that this is a real ADP for him, I think.
Yeah, and especially if we're talking FFPC best ball, where it's full PPR, it's one tight end premium. I mean, I'm taking Kelsey ahead of him. For sure, there's like five other running backs that I'm taking ahead of him. There's Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams. You know,
even
he's
Kittle.
A back end of round one. He's like, if you get really stuck and you want to start with a running back, that's who you take.
Yeah, I think that is I think that is certainly true. Okay, Leonard Fournette, RB11, 17th overall. I think that this could really go one of two ways. I think they could draft a running back. They could sign someone in free agency, which would be weird. But Leonard Fournette was so volume dependent last year. What are your thoughts on him as, like, a very fragile asset right now?
I view him a lot like I viewed Mixon last year, and Mixon, his stock's really high right now because he crushed the end of last year, but that was close to breaking pretty bad. You know, he got an insane amount of volume at the end of the year and crushed. I just think the downside is a lot more than the upside. Fournette was a third round pick last year with less systemic risk. And now you're talking middle to early round two with more systemic risk. That scares me. I don't think he's terrible. Our rankings right now, you know, I made some adjustments to take our consensus projections and ranks to FFPC format, have him right at like the 16th best player. So I don't think it's a bad ADP, but I don't love it there. And I wouldn't be surprised if it fell a little bit and some of the receivers, you know, start working their way up the board, or like Mixon and Miles Sanders, Chubb, maybe get a little bit more steam than Fournette as we get closer to the real season.
Do we think that anything happens to Mike Evans or Chris Godwin's ADP? Or do we think that the market as a whole views Tom Brady as, like, such a mythical, magical football player that they do not price in any of, like, the projection risk?
I don't know. You know, Godwin I was taking in round two, and I don't think I would take him there now. I think I would take him in round three. I'm a little, and that seems weird to go from Jameis to Brady, but something we talked about in depth on the free agency show is probably going to get less pass attempts, probably going to get lower ADOT. And lower ADOT, lower pass attempts, you know, less fantasy points, even if the quarterback real life is better.
Yeah. I think that if I had to guess between the two of, I mean, not a guess, but like if I had to think about which one of them is going to benefit from the presence of, like, a quarterback who wants to throw short and accurate, it's not going to be Mike Evans. It's going to be Chris Godwin, who is more likely to get some of those short, quick throws. An ADP that strikes me, two ADPs back to back that strike me as a little odd. I think RB17 and RB18, 34th and 35th overall right now for Devin Singletary and Le'Veon Bell. I think both of those are high. I would prefer Jonathan Taylor. I think I would prefer J.K. Dobbins. I would put them closer to where David Montgomery is going personally.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised at how early the rookies are going. I felt like last year, and maybe I was playing on a different site than FFPC. I think maybe it was draft when they first put in the rookies.
They were going late.
They were going late. So I sort of anticipated taking rookies, now playing FFPC more full time. And they go early. I haven't taken a rookie yet in any of my six drafts.
I will say that this Jonathan Taylor ADP to me is way low. I think he probably ends up going ahead of Jacobs and Fournette. I think that in your...
Really?
Yeah, I think that in your... Because he's likely going to go in the first or second round of the NFL draft. And I think that he is better than better than Jacobs, right? Like, I think that he is much more on the Saquon trajectory of fantasy football value as opposed to the Josh Jacobs trajectory of fantasy football value. And Jacobs was cheap last year relative to what he was. Jacobs was a third, fourth round pick, kind of more fourth round pick in casual leagues, third round pick in sharper leagues.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe there's just, I guess it depends how confident too that, I mean, if you look at his odds to be first running back off the board, he's the favorite, but it's not, but the
it's not massive favorite, like it was for
Saquon.
Fields
favored over him, right? He's right. Still plus. So, you know, Jacobs, when people were taking him around three, that was after Oakland took him. That wasn't before.
Right.
You know, that.
Yeah.
And we learn a lot with the NFL draft. Things can change quite a bit. So I'm a little weary of Taylor, you know, where he's going right now. I guess, you know, if you could get him round three, I'm fine.
I think that there's such huge profit potential. Like, I think that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like, if you're wrong on Jonathan Taylor and he doesn't go first overall, let's say that Dobbins and Swift go ahead of him and Taylor doesn't go until that Singletary Montgomery range from last year, still probably he's fine at his ADP. But if the market is mostly correct and that he is the first running back that goes and the scouts are right that he is this good, right? And then all of a sudden you're looking at, oh, well, you just got a guy who finishes RB7 in the third round. So, like, that's a spot I really like. And just for the sake of knowing, you know, not all drafts are the same, some of these leagues that I'm in right now, he's going mid-second round. He went mid-second round. And I just tried to trade in this Dynasty League because I'm such a fish. I really shouldn't take players I don't like just because the value's there. But, like, you know I don't like Dalvin Cook. But I took Dalvin Cook in this league, and I immediately tried to trade him for Jonathan Taylor and an extra pick. And the other guy was like, nope, no way, not a chance. And I was like, well, I guess just take the guy you want.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I have a tough time with Dynasty because I started a couple leagues 2 years ago and a couple leagues last year, and I feel like you need to really experience years 3, 4, 5 a couple times to start grasping this. Because in my head, I'm like, you took the right guy. You took Dalvin Cook. But maybe I'm being, you know, way too risk averse in that thought process.
Yeah. Okay. A couple other guys that I think are likely to go in one direction or another. I think AJ Brown, wide receiver 14, that seems really high to me. And I think our projections, I think, actually have him as a value there. And my ranking does not have him as a value there. Where are you at with him?
I mean, you have him ranked 33rd overall. So,
okay. So I guess that is a value. I guess that if that's true, I need to move him down. That yeah, could maybe. Be, that could, are you looking at full PPR or half PPR?
This is full PPR.
Okay. That could be the Fantasy Pros calculation adjusting a little bit, or maybe I do just have him too high, but I do need to move him down.
Well, the tough part with Brown is he was so hyper efficient and now you're expecting more targets. So it's difficult to know, you know, how much more volume do we give him? How much efficiency regression do we expect? Those things are difficult. And depending on what assumptions you make on those, you could end up with a really wide range of outcome on your AJ Brown projections. But I did end up with him on a couple of teams, not taking him in round 3 by any means, but times where he dipped to round four, you know, I took him ahead of like Keenan Allen, for example.
Yeah, I have him in this. I have him in a dynasty team that I took over, and I've really been trying to get rid of him because he's like my only good asset, and the market is not as high on him as I kind of expected them to be. Calvin Ridley to me, wide receiver 19, that seems really low, right?
Yeah, Ridley, you can get in five in some of these drafts, which is really strong. And I know Ridley's a guy that you had to have one guy in history that you changed your opinion on due to new information, just so you could say that you're willing to do that.
And
that,
yeah, and Ridley was the guy.
Ridley is the guy. He's the martyr for you.
Well, Tyler Lockett was too. Tyler Lockett was a guy that I loved when he was cheap. I touted him for so long when he was cheap, and then when he got expensive, I backed off. You want to know another guy who I've done 180s on like six times is DK Metcalf. Back in on DK Metcalf. I think that he is such an interesting risk reward pick, and I hate when fantasy football touts say this, but I actually love Metcalf in best ball leagues because you're never gonna have to guess the random spike weeks, and he's gonna have four target, three touchdown games like six times in his career.
Yeah, did you just hear something break downstairs in my house?
Because I know sounds like working from home is going great for everyone.
Both
though
parents working from home dealing with a crazy three-year-old. And I will agree with you on Metcalf. I do think that's a point, like, people way overstate, oh, he's a good best ball type player. Like, it's way overrated, but in Metcalf's case, it's kind of true. What's interesting is I've been working on training some NFL efficiency models this past offseason to try and get our baselines as good as possible for our seasonal projections and our DFS projections to come. And the guy, I'm trying to look at now, my new model that, you know, does a really good job with figuring out the proper like yards per target baseline for a player has Metcalf top 10 in yards per target, even with a small sample. And it's taking that into account. Now, part of that is the QB is in that equation, and he plays with a QB that has a really high yards per attempt. So it's not based only on the receiver's skill. But the combination of what he's done in a small sample and the combination of who his quarterback is, you know, he's pretty likely to be a big play guy, you know, this year. Like we're expecting right. that to stay.
Yeah. So he's a guy,
wide receiver.
Yeah. He's a guy that I think I would be, he would be someone I would be more interested in investing sort of like in this format, as opposed to a guy that I want to draft in like the main event, basically, like, you know, assuming that we do get football back again at some time, you know what I'm saying?
The only thing with Metcalf is the volume, right? If you're talking non-best ball, like, aren't you worried about the total volume and the hype?
Well, of course I am. I literally had to have this argument with you and Drew every week during the season for Seattle's run pass ratio. I am
that
worried.
Was a different type of argument, but okay.
Yes. I am worried about that volume. If I wanted to make the devil's advocate case, I would say Chris Carson's hurt, Rashad Penny's hurt, Marshawn Lynch, to my knowledge, not with the team. They've traded away all their picks. So, well, no. I think they have extra picks this year. You know what? I'm walking this back. They're going to draft a running back in the first round. They're going to take one of these guys, Akers or Dobbins or whatever.
Dude, that would be amazing to watch Seattle Twitter and Ben Baldwin in particular.
It's so funny because Seattle Twitter, at least my exposure to them, they're all like analytics dudes. And it's so funny that that's happened because no team like openly is like trying to tilt their fans the way that the Seattle Seahawks do.
It is an amazing dynamic.
Yeah. All right, let's see some of these other guys. Hunter Henry seems high to me, but here's an ADP I will guarantee you I'm not going to have any of. Tyler Higbee, 58th overall, tight end 9. It just, I mean, I guess maybe if they trade Brandon Cooks, maybe.
Is he just, maybe he's just that good tail end of last year. But yeah, that seems nuts to me. And again, it's tight end premium. So him, Henry, they get inflated, but I don't own any of them. I did grab like one share of Austin Hooper. I grabbed one share of Ertz when I got him late round three, mid round three. I think
not a fan of that. I think I that there's not.
You've never been a fan of Ertz, but
that's not true. I was fan. 2 years ago.
2 years ago, I guess all of last year you weren't, and I think he's still.
Was I right or wrong? Do you think based on how the season played out to at the beginning of the season, do you think I was right or wrong to be lower than the market on Ertz? Not even talking about the results, but in terms of like how target share played out when everyone was healthy.
I was lower on the market than Ertz. I think
all too, I mean our projections, like all of our stuff was.
I didn't dislike him as much as you though. You really hated him. Or maybe it was Amico who really hated him. People had OJ Howard Amico ahead of him. That was always nuts to me. Hunter Henry ahead of him. That was nuts to me.
That was bad. Yeah.
He's super safe. He's the TE3. He's ahead of Mark Andrews. Maybe those two are a little bit close. No one else is close. If you can get him in round three in tight end premium, I think that's totally. And you also have to look at our projections. Basically think the market, even accounting for tight end premium, is taking tight ends too early. So yeah. Taking Ertz a little bit too early in round three is a lot better in our minds than taking, you know, Hunter Henry three rounds too early.
Too early.
And then also, or you just end up with no good tight ends whatsoever and you're kind of screwed, and like you can pat yourself on the back and say, I didn't overdraft the tight end, but you have nobody on your team. You know?
Yeah, except Blake Jarwin is just gonna break tight end. He's just gonna break tight end premium because he's gonna be so good. Yeah.
There was a brief Jonnu Smith period, but now the hype's up. I have one team where I want only two tight ends with Jarwin and Jonnu that I like, but yeah, I think those guys are overdrafted. Like I said, I got a Hooper just because I still think there's a chance that Cleveland goes bonkers. It did not even remotely happen last year. It went the opposite direction, but we'll see.
Oh, I guess we should talk a little bit about roster construction for the non-slim leagues for the FFPC. So people are used to draft where you don't have to draft defense or kicker or whatever. The correct answer, though, is three kickers, three tight ends, three defenses, three quarterbacks, which it feels like total overload, but there are extra rounds to compensate.
There are extra rounds even accounting for the three kicker, 3D, because the slim's 18, even if you say, and the regular's 28, even if you say I'm taking six picks of those 10 extra picks for kicker and defense, that's still four more picks that you have. So you can get your third QB, your third tight end, which were already like 2.5 in a slim, right? Like you are. So you're still getting an extra running back and an extra receiver.
Right. Yeah. So
to save it. And especially early on, I mean.
You know who else I'm going to have? Literally, I'll probably do 200 drafts and have none of. I'm not going to take Raheem Mostert even one time. Just not. I mean, what mental gymnastics do you have to do to want to select Raheem Mostert? Like, I don't get it.
It's pretty wild. There's a lot of guys that I'll take maybe even ahead of where our rankings are, because I like to bake in the ADP as, you know, wisdom of the crowds a little bit and like count that as a weight along with your ranking, Amico's ranking.
Which I think is good. Yeah.
And yeah, I think it gives you a really good draft guide where you can be a little bit diversified, but still have heavy positions on the guys you really like or dislike. And the guy really dislike, I'm 100% with you on Mostert. I've taken some Breda. I've taken some Coleman because the market right now is acting like it's Mostert RB1, like a regular RB1. And these guys are a regular RB2 and a regular RB3. And I don't think that's the case. What's weird is they did restructure McKinnon's contract. I keep waiting for them to just release him.
Can't do it, bro. They got to keep grinding.
So that's a little bit of a downer where I don't think.
And we haven't even mentioned Jeff Wilson Jr., who was a surprise active in the Super Bowl and got me off of Kyle Juszczyk.
So I guess you could just avoid all of them. Coleman seems like the best ADP value of the bunch. Like, I literally just took him in like round 13 somewhere. I mean,
yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, there are a lot of guys, a lot of running backs here.
He's going to have a role no matter what. So I'm trying to think of other guys I just have been shocked. I mean, a lot of the rookies are going really early.
Kareem Hunt. I mean, I am not interested at all.
Yeah. It's hard. I have with running backs the same problems I have with tight ends a little bit, where it's like the market's higher on the running backs in general than us. So sometimes it's picking where do we differ the least, even though we still think it's an overreach. We'll see where I want to know where David Johnson's ADP settles in. I know you think he's dust, but
well, I mean, I will say
him,
even
Drake
as
Drake and Edmonds all saw their values rise with that trade.
Even as even if I do think DJ is dust, which by the way, like I love David Johnson. He's one of my favorite players in football ever. He was that same condition last year, and he was still really good and useful as a wide receiver because he's so good at it. Even though his body like completely betrayed him, he was still really good at catching passes. And Houston's going to need somebody to catch passes this year because they just lost. They just lost, you know, 30% of their targets.
Yeah.
It's just wild in Houston. Okay, Michael Gallup, really very, very obvious value. Wide receiver 30. Dallas led the NFL in yards per play. They lost Jason Witten. They lost Randall Cobb. I saw some rumors that they're maybe expected to sign Manuel Sanders. I don't think that will move his ranking materially all that much. AJ Green, wide receiver 33. Got to say that one interests me a lot, which is very funny because like literally – AJ Green, I selected him in zero leagues last year, own him in zero dynasty leagues, but I'm of the opinion that Burrow is going to be like a huge upgrade for all of these Cincinnati players.
Yeah, I think the hard part for me, so what, he's going like 87th or so overall, and you know, guys like Jarvis Landry, Christian Kirk are going in that same rank. Christian Kirk's going like five picks after Jarvis Landry's going five picks earlier. I haven't found myself in a spot where I've seriously considered AJ Green yet.
Okay. What do we think about Will Fuller now? Wide receiver 40 last 2 weeks. Got to assume that jumps up a good bit.
Yeah, that should definitely jump up. I mean, he's right. He's probably ahead of AJ Green right now. For sure. God, right?
Are we gonna get to a place where Will Fuller is overvalued? That's the worst. Like Will Fuller is the nuts when he's cheap. Taking expensive Will Fuller is not a fun roller coaster ride for anybody.
It's also I don't know how much people buy into the injury risk thing.
People think Will Fuller is injury prone for sure.
Is he? I don't know. I mean, injury-prone stuff we've deduced is like 90% noise, right? Unless you're Jordan Reed and have concussions.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I think non-statistically and just sort of intuitively, I believe that, like, there's probably something to guys who continually get, like, soft tissue injuries and guys who... Well, it is true that guys who injure one leg or one knee, they are more likely in the future to injure the other leg or the other knee because their body changes they change the way they run. It's a compensation injury. It happens more in basketball than it happens in football, but it is like that is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fuller, I don't know. I this is why I said like I did a bunch of drafts before free agency. I feel like I need a little bit of time to reset where, you know, honestly, a lot of my draft strategy is just putting together data smartly versus having these crazy original opinions. So I need you and freaking Amico. Once you guys update your ranks and we have the projections are already updated and we get a little bit more of an ADP signal over the last 7 days, it'll be a little bit easier to tell on a couple of these guys. My sense is that generally when something happens is the drafts I'm currently in, I'm able to find some good values on the drafts that had already started. You can generally jump on someone. Like I got to Chase Edmonds super late in a league because who's even... That's like 3 degrees of separation, right? Like who's even thinking about the Chase Edmonds value increase on a zero RB team this
time. Well, yeah, he's not even a trendy sleeper like he was last year. The trendy sleeper zero RB guys are Latavius Murray, Alexander Mattison, Tony Pollard. This is an interesting one. So Royce Freeman is like maybe not expected to be back in Denver. I think that he will go somewhere and get 180 carries and 40 catches again. Like like last year he was going in the eighth round, kind of delivered value there. He's going to he's very likely to me to deliver value where he's going right now, like in the 140s.
Yeah, I've got him a couple of times as one of the few RBs that it seems like we have a pretty plus value ranking on relative to the market. If you're willing to just take on a little bit of risk, which if you're building a zero RB team, you do. Another guy that we like a lot, if you're talking, you know, handcuffs that look like they're undervalued, Justin Jackson for
the Justin Chargers. Jackson is such a sick value. If you think that the Chargers are cool to run with Justin Jackson, Austin Eckler, and I think Troy Maine Pope, Detrez Newsome or whatever. I mean, Justin Jackson's going to back into 150 to 200 touches this year.
And then obviously you also had the just injury equity that you have with any handcuff.
Any handcuff. Yeah. Just naturally
in such a smash spot.
Yeah. So couple late tight ends who I think you can tie everything together with. How many targets is Jack Doyle going to get from Phillip Rivers now? No Eric Ebron. He's gone. I mean, what do we get? Do we get...
What are we doing, Jack Doyle every year?
Yeah, we just do Ebron, Jack Doyle every year.
Like, speaking of guys with uncertainty, I think Ebron, if you want to get him, like, now is the time to buy Eric Ebron.
Oh, yeah, because he's just stone cold free.
So he's very cheap for a tight end premium league where a lot of the tight ends are overvalued.
Yeah. Irv Smith, Blake Jarwin, Dawson Knox, like all of those guys. Jay Sternberger, tight end 29. I mean, come on, bro.
Yeah, those tight end 29 piece together if you are building a three tight end team, even in the slims, because the mid-tier tight ends just were way overvalued by the market. For late wide receivers, you know, Paris Campbell, if you want a best ball stack with Rivers, because Rivers' price is pretty decent. I don't know if that'll change a ton now that he's officially signed, but I just grabbed a Campbell share. Isabella, some of these big play guys that if you need like a final receiver. I'm also torn on Alshon Jeffrey. I took him in a few leagues early on as my last receiver. It just seems nuts to me this guy's going in round 15 to 17. Unless you think he's just dead.
Well, I don't think that people think he's dead. I think that the market is suggesting that he is going to be cut or traded or whatever, and he's going to be on a different team.
Yeah. But like, if he is, that's still not a terrible price, depending where he goes. And if he's not, he's a mega smash.
Yeah. So, N'Keal Harry, to me, is a really interesting guy because he was a first-round wide receiver literally 12 months ago. And all the guys who got drafted highly last year and were not fantasy starters but will be fantasy starters this year. So, Mecole Hardman, N'Keal Harry, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Like, give me Paris Campbell that you mentioned earlier. I think he's a really good example. And you know what? We are going to have another opportunity to just be all in on Kenny Stills. Like, who's going to stop us?
Oh, my God. That was a guy, too, that I mentioned. Sometimes when the news happens, the drafts that are ongoing are the best. But Stills, he's still going to be a really good value, I think, for a little bit here. I don't think people are going to adjust nearly. They're going to adjust on full. Sometimes it's these secondary guys, which, you know, admittedly they're more fragile because a lot more things can make or break their value. But people sometimes just look down the line, like one tier. Okay, Nuke's gone Hopkins, or Nuke's gone Fuller's a smash now. And they don't. And that's kind of the benefit, I think, of the way we do our projections and our rankings, is that we really visualize what this means for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is for sure true. A couple other guys who I would be taking stabs at right now, who you can get, you know, your last pick or whatever. AJ Dillon, I think, is going to get drafted way higher than the market expects, basically, than it expected to begin with. So I think he is, I think he's pretty interesting. I think that there are loads of running backs. I mean, Chris Thompson, Dion Lewis, Giovanni Bernard, like these guys are going to have, like, you know, some kind of pass catching role that is
for free.
Yeah. And you can just stone cold. Yeah. But I mean, Chris Thompson's going to sign somewhere. Dion Lewis going to sign somewhere. Giovanni Bernard.
I don't disagree. The minute they sign, it's crazy. Sometimes these players, they'll sign in a spot that I won't say is worst case scenario, but is like neutral or negative to their value. And their ADPs will rise just from the fact that they did sign somewhere.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, so like just being ahead of that a little bit, like not a massive edge, but it is an edge when you're trying to build, you know, a portfolio or multiple teams and not just one team or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Do we have any other points to get across?
I'm trying to think if there's something else that stuck out. Like I said, I feel like I was drafting receiver early too much, but that just always happens to me. Rashad Penny, you know, seemed okay. Okay, here's one for you before we get out of here, because these running backs matter to me because I draft like these hybrid zero RB teams. Justice Hill, you back in?
I mean, why wouldn't 14? I be? Mark Ingram's another year older, bro.
Hey, I grabbed a couple of Hill shares, round 14. So, I mean, it's the same thing as last year at a better price now. And also, a second year in the system is probably better for him.
And, I mean, they were using him more, like, they used him in that playoff game more, like, he was in there catching dump-offs and stuff instead of Mark Ingram, which...
And they probably have to throw more than they did last year.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be less efficient running. Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Very good point. Very good point.
Justice Hill, league winner. Round two.
I was just off by a year.
Exactly. I'm good. I don't have anything else. I think those are the major things that have stuck out to me so far.
We just got the draft order generated in our league, the Fantasy Insiders League.
There was a report from Rappaport that the Chargers are expected to move forward with Tyrod Taylor for 2020.
That means that Jameis is not going to be a starting quarterback in 2020. That's crazy, dude. It's crazy, crazy fast times we live in. Heady times, Michael. Heady times.
Indeed.
All right, everyone. Hope that was a useful or enjoyable conversation for you. We will continue to churn out the Dynasty, best ball, draft, all of the football content you need, because it's all that we have. It's all that we have right now. If you're listening to this, make sure to check out the contest we have going on over at Daily Roto Night right now, where you can bet on futures in an MLB The Show simulation that Michael and I are running. That will be taking place on Twitch, and we will be back soon with more stuff for you guys to listen to.